The first thing that I want to say is that I found this talk quite a challenging thing to write. It was quite a difficult experience for me reflecting about this talk. And I think that's because, well, it's for a few reasons, but I think a couple of ones are, firstly, I don't really have a clue what Kalyana Mitra is. I don't really know what spiritual friendship is. Actually trying to think about what my relationship to it was and is has really brought that out. And then the second thing is I've actually found the practice of spiritual friendship very difficult. Surprise, surprise. I don't really know what it is. And in fact, I would have to say that since I've started practicing Buddhism, I've found, I think I've found my relationship with most people more challenging than it was before, in a certain sense. So before I go into that, I'll just sort of like preface this little reflection by saying that it is a kind of reflection and it's not altogether structured, so I might go off on a few tangents and things like that and pose a few questions to myself, so just bear with me. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, difficult, yeah. I think my relationship with people and my practice of spiritual friendship has been difficult because that when you start to really practice and try and live according to precepts and really sort of get under the surface and get to know people, it's like this kind of, there's this sort of like comfortable barrier or sort of like cushioning between two people that starts to slowly, slowly get eroded away. And so, you know, whereas in the past, if I've sort of had an awkward moment or an awkward conversation with a friend or things have started to get a little bit weird, there's sort of like an unspoken kind of almost clause between the two of us. You know, we can turn on the TV or, you know, talk about something that's amusing or go to the pub or something like that. It's like there's a kind of get out of jail free card that we can both play. But you can't do that if you're trying to live a serious spiritual life and really try and develop spiritual friendship with people. And so the thing about that as well is that means that, Matthew alluded to it earlier, that means that you really have to be patient with your spiritual friendship, or I've had to be a lot more patient in developing spiritual friendships. It's not like, you know, you can just, I mean, I think of an example down at the pub again, you know, like you meet somebody, you get really drunk together, you find out you follow the same football team and all of a sudden you're like, you know, lifelong, long-lost brothers, or you fancy some girl and you sort of like have a crush on her and all of a sudden she's the one that's going to complete you, and it happens all just like that. But with spiritual friendship, it takes a lot longer. You have to be patient and you have to be able to, you know, go through a bit of awkwardness and a bit of, you know, getting to know people and things like that. So, in terms of the first question, how important to me was spiritual friendship when I first came along? That's sort of an interesting question. I think that on some level, I recognise that I've always recognised that that is a very important part of the spiritual path. But I'd say that the way I acted, or the way I sort of thought about it or felt about it, suggested that I didn't think it was very important at the start. I think about how much effort and time I put into my meditation practice and my Dharma study, for instance, compared to making spiritual friends. It's sort of like, it's quite lopsided. I think that, I mean, I did have friends outside the Sangha as well that I sort of got along with very well, and I love them. and I still do. And so, but with them, because we had all these sort of unspoken clauses and things like that, it was much easier for me to relate to them and spend time with them than with these sort of new strange people from the Buddhist centre, who kind of didn't really dress like my friends, and they weren't sort of interested in the same things that I was, outside of the Dharma. So I thought, on some level, I must have thought, well, let's just spend my time hanging out with my friends outside of the Buddhist centre, and then, I can do my sort of practice, meaning meditation and study, on the side, sort of like separating these two parts of my life out. So it actually took me about 2 years, I think, or so, from coming to the Buddhist centre before I actually met up with anybody outside of the Buddhist centre, any Sangha members. So I'm sure this quote is going to be said more than once on this retreat, but I wanted to mention this quote from the Apada Sutta, where Ananda is talking to the Buddha about spiritual friendship, and so what happens is Ananda comes up to the Buddha and he proposes that spiritual friendship is half of the spiritual life, and the Buddha replies to him, "Don't say that, Ananda. Don't say that. Admirable friendship, admirable companionship, admirable camaraderie is actually the whole of the holy life. When a monk has admirable people as friends, companions and comrades, he can be expected to develop and follow the Noble Eightfold Path." So that's a pretty strong statement. And if we say the Buddha thought spiritual friendship was the whole of the spiritual life, I think I probably, when I first came along, thought or acted as if spiritual friendship was about 5% of the spiritual life. that's sort of slowly increased over the time that I've been practicing, and now it's probably at about 30 or 40%. So still a ways to go, but I'm improving. So what's changed, or the way I sort of like address that question is, how important is spiritual friendship to me now, and what's changed in my appreciation of it? And spiritual friendship is a lot more of a conscious part of my spiritual practice now than it was. I make much more of an effort to meet with people, but also get to know people better now than I used to. It's not so much of a chore. It's not sort of me sort of going along to meditation and then sort of like trying to sneak out and someone catching me and me sort of being pinned up against the wall and smiling and nodding at their questions and waiting for them to finish so I can kind of leave. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but gives you a flavour of what I was like. Why is this the case? I think one of the reasons has been because I've seen firsthand and sort of on repeated occasions just how difficult it can be to, or it has been to, practice on my own and try and make spiritual progress or try and grow on my own. I think that's because I have a tendency, as I'm sure many people do, of sort of like turning inwards and getting very concerned with myself and how I'm feeling and what my mental states are and all of this sort of stuff. When I start to practice, before having a context of spiritual friendship in which to practice, I found myself getting almost obsessed with sort of meditative experiences, keeping myself in a very stable, steady, pleasant state of mind all the time. Again, I'm exaggerating a bit sort of to make the point, but that was my tendency. I think it is important to profound meditation experiences can be very helpful, and keeping yourself psychologically healthy and positive and all of these sorts of things, they can be helpful. But what I'm saying is, for me, I have a tendency to make that what my practice becomes about. So it's what I care about most, and I don't want that to be what my practice leads to. I don't want my practice to lead to me caring more about me and what state of mind I'm in. Mm-hmm. I want it to lead to me caring more about other people, and I want it to lead to me acting on that as well. So I want to, I want my practice to lead to me becoming a more selfless person. I think that's the way I understand anatta, no self, insight, all of those sorts of things. It's not about me having some fantastic experience for myself. It's about me being completely selfless and just spontaneously giving and acting for the benefit of other people. And spiritual friendship is an indispensable part of that for me, because spiritual friendship requires me to care about other people, than myself. If I'm friends with somebody, I can't not care about them. I'm almost forced or dragged out of myself, kicking and screaming sometimes, but. There's something really fantastic about that, because a positive part of that, I've sort of been speaking a bit negative in negative terms, but a positive part of that is I become a whole lot less self-conscious, and my sort of anxieties and neuroses and things like that, they sort of start to simmer down without me even having to address them directly, because there's all of a sudden this much bigger, much more interesting thing that I'm a part of, event that I'm a part of, that's spiritual friendship. And then the other aspect has been getting to know people from the Sangha better, and spending a lot more time around serious practicing Buddhists. Especially here at Padmaloka, there are, just to put it simply, there are just a whole lot of people around here that I really feel like I want to be friends with. They're very friendly people. There are a lot of inspiring people, and there are a lot of people who are very attractive to me, and both on the sense of I sort of like them and want to get along with them, but also they sort of represent something beyond me that I sort of want to become. And so just to sort of to return to that quote from the Apada Sutta, one of the footnotes of the translation explains that admirable friendship, according to the Buddha, means not only association with good people, but also learning from them and emulating their qualities. And so I think this is one thing that I'm really aware of living at Padmaloka. Is not only do I want to spend lots of time with these people, but I also want to learn from them, and I want to emulate their qualities. Yeah. So the final point was, what are my aspirations? What do I aspire to in my practice of spiritual friendship? Well, ideally, I aspire to be Kalyana Mitra in its ideal sense. And I think Subhuti explains this, or his description of it explains what this is best. So I'll just read it. The Kalyana Mitra sees through your difficulties, behind even the roots of those difficulties, to the creative energy you are blocking. Their impact upon you is to release that. They don't think about They don't think about it. They don't think, oh, poor them, I must help them. There's just a magnetic attraction to the living force within another. So that's just a really profound thought to me, and it just sort of like, so it just cuts through a whole lot of a complexity for me in terms of relating to people. If I can transform myself into a person that just sort of, I mean, it's not even a seeing, it's just sort of like, I get the image that it's just like, you know, I have some sort of sense, some sort of like resonation with some force, some life force in all other people, and just by me being who I am, can sort of draw that out of people without even, you know, having to worry about, oh, what's getting in the way of this, or, you know, what are your difficulties, what are your problems, although, you know, that might be part of what I need to do. It's just like at root there's just this sort of just attraction to people's innermost potential, and a sort of like you know, automatic's the wrong word, kind of a sort of more of a spontaneous drawing out of that potential. So, you know, obviously that's a pretty lofty aspiration, probably not for this lifetime, but in the meantime, I think a more short-term aspiration of mine is just to become more interested and engaged with people. And there are two aspects to this. There are probably more than two, but two that I've been thinking about. And the first one is spending more time with people who really spark me off, who I'm really attracted to, energetically attracted to. And so this might be people who inspire me, sort of more vertical Kalyana Mitra, people with more experience than me. And it might be people on the more horizontal level of Kalyana Mitra, so friends with similar or less experience than me. But I think one of the important things about this is that when I'm spending time with these people, with my friends, that we're kind of, as well as getting to know one another and tuning in with one another, seeing what's going on for us, we're sort of engaged in some activity or that sort of transcends both of us. So for instance, it might be that I'm having a talk with an order member about an aspect of the Dharma that really interests me or interests both of us. So we're really both kind of, both our energies are really intensely going towards this thing, whatever it is, that's sort of bigger than both of us, so that in a sense, both of ourselves or our egos or whatever you want to call it, start to drop away from our level of awareness. But it might also be, it doesn't just have to be talking. It might be a sort of some sort of creative project. I think Arya Priya spoke about this yesterday, but I've got a lot in the past out of working together with people, with friends, on creative projects that we're both interested in. I think it's personally, I think it's a really great thing for young guys to do with each other, just in general, because again, I feel like when two people's energies and attention, especially guys' energy and attention, is sort of focused on some sort of like cooperative endeavor, everything just starts to flow a bit more in terms of communication between you. It doesn't necessarily have to be verbal communication, but the whole way you relate to each other just seems to become more smooth. Well, that's my experience of it anyway. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all I'm going to say on that. And then the other aspect of this, of my practice at the moment, is making an effort to develop a deeper appreciation for people in general. I would say that means becoming more mindful of people. And by mindful, I mean what Subhuti says about mindfulness, which is sort of like an aesthetic appreciation. So I'm trying to develop a more aesthetic appreciation of people just in general. And so for me, this means, becoming aware that they sort of they exist as a physical being and all that sort of stuff, but also what my response to them is, do I like them or not? But those are sort of a gateway into something deeper, which is sort of like more of a connecting or an understanding of their qualities, their sort of deeper qualities, not just the ones that I really, really like or I really, really dislike. So I've got this sort of broader picture of the person, this broader sense of the person, because it's not necessarily a visual thing. And that means that even if I do not like somebody, I can still appreciate them because I'm aware of them, not just to the parts that I don't like. I'm not just gravitating to the parts that I don't like. I'm aware of the parts, some of their qualities, or even what their experience, what some of their experiences have been. So it's sort of like I'm aware of them more as a multi-dimensional being, more than just somebody to be avoided or somebody to be clung to, neurotically clung to. I think that's pretty much all I have to say. Just to sum up, I guess that spiritual friendship has been something that has grown on me in time, and the importance of it and an appreciation for it has grown on me in time, and now, especially after having worked on this speech, I think it's something that I want to give a lot more conscious effort to, and want to really make a much bigger part of my spiritual practice. Thank you.